If he had been looking at those first few flashes dead on, he guessed he would have been blinded, maybe temporarily, maybe for good. Luckily for him, the shed's front roll-up door faced away from the gas pump. Yet still the glare was enough to dazzle his eyes, and to turn that summer twilight as bright as noonday. And it made Shed B, a solid enough wooden structure, seem as insubstantial as a tent made out of gauze. Light shot through every crack and unoccupied nail hole. It flashed out from beneath the eaves through a small cavity that might have been gnawed by a squirrel. It blazed at ground level, where a board had fallen off, in a great, brilliant bar. There was a ventilator stack on the roof, and it shot the glare skyward in irregular bursts like smoke signals made out of pure violet light. The flashes through the rows of windows on the roll-up doors front and back turned the rising ground mist into an eerie electric vapor. Sandy was calm, startled, but calm. He thought, this is it. Motherfuckers blowing. We're all dead. The thought of running or jumping into his cruiser never entered his head. Run where? Drive where? It was a joke. What he wanted was crazy. To get closer. It drew him. He wasn't terrified of it, as Mr. D had been. He felt the fascination, but not the fear. Crazy or not, he wanted to get closer. Could almost hear it calling him closer. Feeling like a man in a dream, it crossed his mind that dreaming was a serious possibility. He walked back to the driver's side of D-14, leaned in through the open window, and plucked his sunglasses off the dashboard. He put them on and started walking toward the shed. It was a little better with the sunglasses, but not much. He walked with his hand raised in front of him and his eyes narrowed down to stringent slits. The world boomed silent light all around and throbbed with purple fire. Sandy could see his shadow jumping out from his feet, disappearing and then jumping out again. He could see the light leaping from the windows in the roll-up door and glaring off the back of the barracks. He could see troopers starting to spill out, pushing aside Matt Babicki from dispatch, who had been closest and who got outside first. In the flashes from the shed, everyone moved herky-jerky, like actors in a silent film. Those who had sunglasses in their pockets reached to put them on. Some of those who didn't turned and stumbled back in to get them. One trooper even drew his gun, looked down at it as if to say, "What the fuck am I going to do with this?" and put it back in his holster. Two of the troopers without sunglasses groped gamely on toward the shed nevertheless, heads down and eyes shut and hands held out before them like the hands of sleepwalkers, drawn, as Sandy had been, toward the stuttery flashes and that low, maddening hum, like bugs to a bug light. Then Tony Shaindinks ran through them, slapping them, shoving them, telling them to get the hell back, to return to the barracks, and that was an order. He was trying to get his own sunglasses on and kept missing his face with them. He got them where they belonged only after poking one bow into his mouth and the other into his left eyebrow.